Years ago, when we started Interaction Germany, I fell out of my comfort zone and out of my depth almost every hour of every day. I still do most of the time. And when I was confused and at my wit's end, the first question I would ask is, what would Jesus do? The second question I would ask is, what would Steve Orange do? Steve was at the time, the director of Interaction Belgium, the camp that had kind of birthed Interaction Germany. And I'd gone there for 2 years to kind of copy from him and learn from him. So it's great joy for me to now welcome one of my heroes up front. He will be hating this introduction, but it has given me great joy to welcome him. You've got a microphone, brilliant. Steve, just a couple of questions to help us get to know you. First of all, please do tell us about the family that you've left at home, left willingly at home, I should probably say.
Before I forget, am I allowed to say, are we going to come back at some point to Acts 1, verse 8? In the questions you're going to ask me.
Yeah, we'll come back to it, sure.
Perfect, because I want to say something about Acts 1, verse 8. What was your question just now?
Tell us about your family.
I am a man who is married, who has got 4 kids. My wife is called Dawn. She's a bit gutted not to be here. We particularly wanted together to come to this, but sadly it wasn't possible. She's partly now looking after her own father, who is slowly going downhill with Alzheimer's. So now half of the week, even though we live in Brussels, she goes back to London to help with her father. And then the other half, she's with me. And we've still got one child at home, Nelly, who's 17 and is a strong character, but is a lovely girl. So the bit of the week when I'm just with her alone is the week where we stare at each other and say, are we going to be nice to one another, or are we going to say, Mum wouldn't have done it like this? But I'm very grateful for Nelly. She's doing really well and was baptized just this year, so it was a great joy for us as a family. And then I've got 3 older kids, older than Nelly. So bottom up, Zebedee. I know it's a slightly odd name, but everybody's allowed one odd name in their family, aren't they, Larry?
Why was you looking at us for that?
And after Zebedee, it's Max, and he is at university in England. And then after Max, it's Jemima, and she is just finished at university and is hoping to get a job in London this next September.
Thank you. It's awful when you find your heroes have got clay feet. Steve, are you English or Belgian?
I am both, with a great joy. Because of Brexit, I was forced to have to declare my hand, and therefore I'm born English and I'm still English, and yet I'm also Belgian, and very pleased to be so.
So what took you to Brussels, and when did it take you to Brussels?
I could give a long version of that, but probably that will not for now. The gospel, in a sense, took me to Brussels. I have to say that is why I was there. I had grown up in a non-Christian family, and we'd spent many years going on holiday in France. I loved France. I'd learned French, not as a Christian, but when I'd finished school, I took a year to work in France. I then became a Christian myself at university. And so I knew a lot about France, and because I had some French, I wanted to go and speak to others about the Lord Jesus Christ in France. And then somebody said, there's somebody who wants some help just for a week in Belgium. And I'd never even heard, I mean, literally almost hadn't heard of the country of Belgium, I'm sorry to say. And so thought I couldn't really say no, because it was a friend who was asking me. And so discovered Belgium just in a week, and because of that then began to discover people. And whenever you meet people, you begin to appreciate where they've come from. And through that, little by little, had the opportunity of understanding more about the church in Belgium. And eventually a church asked us to come and work with them. And that's why we ended up there.
And how long ago was that?
2001. We first went to Belgium to work, but initially not for the church, initially for the student movement, that like Navigators, but...
Or, GBU.
Yeah, GBU. Well done. Can you say that in French?
You first.
So I worked 3 years for the GBU, Groupe Biblique Universitaire, and then... Don't ask me about my German.
That's not a bad accent.
And after that, started working for a church in Brussels. From 2007, I've been at that church.
Given that you've just told us you can speak French, can you speak any German?
No, but I have discovered, a very few words. I have a son who is currently in Austria working for a torchbearer's site, if anyone has heard of torchbearers.
Fackelträger.
In the Alps called Schladming. And so we went for a week to join him there. And I have to say, I found it reasonably challenging on the linguistic front. And I was a little bit disappointed with instantaneous sort of Google translation, just putting the phone there and getting it, and thought they got about 5% correct. So, no.
That might tell you more about the Austrians than it does about your phone.
Probably.
I hope this isn't being recorded. Tell us, so you're pastoring a church in Brussels. What do you love about your church?
Oh, I love many things about our church. I think one of the things I love about them is they're pretty forgiving with me. They've have to have been if I've been there since 2007. So it's a joy to work in a context where there is an understanding of grace. And because God has called us together to be a people, and he's called us by grace to be that people, grace needs to be at the center of our understanding of how we relate to one another. Because as soon as we start relating to one another on the basis of, I like you because you like the things I like, I'm good at football, I'm not, but imagine that I was, then therefore I like hanging out with people who are good at football, or I like seeing good paintings, that I do like. I've just been in Dresden and saw some lovely paintings, and I'd love to talk to you about that. Well, great, then I'm going to find that person who's like me. And in any church environment, that's always a danger, that we begin to orientate around the people who are like us. But the reason God has brought us together is he's been good to us. And if he's been good to me, he's also been good to Larry. I mean, it's impressive that that might be the case. But that he's good to both of us means that we can be good to one another. And I love that about local church life. But obviously, I hope and pray that that's also your experience of church. And then I think other than that, I love, and I think this is similar for our two churches, are similar like this. It's such a big hodgepodge of different people. So we've got about, last time we counted, there were 46 nationalities present in our church. And I think you guys are pretty similar.
Give or take the same, yeah.
And I think that's a wonderfully rich environment for growing together as God's people and seeing the wonder of the way in which he's made us all a little bit differently, but for his glory. There are many things I don't like about church, but you haven't asked me that.
No, that's not the question you ask with a microphone in front of your mouth. You wanted me to ask you a question about Acts 1 verse 8. Here's a question. Tell us about Acts 1 verse 8.
can we have the verse up on the screen, because it's probably the easiest way to do it, because it's there. And can I first of all say, this is really why I wanted to say this. I have to say, I love this little bit at the bottom here. I can't even read this, but first of all, I'm stunned that the pastor of your current church, John and Gabby, managed to write a song within about 2 days. I don't know if that's the music. So first of all, there's admiration. But secondly, are they here now? Well, not, because I've never met John and Gabby. They're not here, so you can tell them that I've said this. But then I said, written by John and Gabby. And then I look up here and I'm saying, no, hold on, that's not true. That's written by the Lord through his spirit, through Luke, who decides to write his second volume, which is to encourage the church that the Lord Jesus is continuing to be at work in his church. And how is he at work today? Well, It's important to get this right, actually, but I'm not going to speak about this directly, which is why I'm pleased to do it now. So when we read that verse at the top, we begin to think straight away that first of all applies to me. So you will receive, you Larry or you Steve, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you think, terrific, yes, That's what I need. I need the power from the Holy Spirit. But the you isn't me, and it isn't Larry. Not in the first instance, it's not. It's who? It's the people who will be my witnesses. Well, why are they called to be witnesses? You're only a witness when you've seen something. And we haven't seen the gospel events ourselves. We weren't there in Jerusalem when Jesus died, when he rose. We didn't live with the Lord Jesus for those 3 years that the apostles and disciples did. Now, those are the men who are qualified initially to be his witnesses. Now, and what will happen? So the Holy Spirit will come upon you. When did that happen? That happened this weekend. I don't know if Pentecost, Larry can answer me this because he's better at theology than I am. But did Pentecost happen on a Sunday? I'm not sure it did. I haven't worked out 50 days after what? 50 days after the Ascension?
If you haven't worked out the answer to that in your many years of pastoring, then who am I to know?
But in Germany, do you guys celebrate Pentecost on a Sunday? Do you not? So Pentecost Sunday is this Sunday. Is that I'm good. I'm glad that we're on the same page. So we're celebrating what at Pentecost? We're celebrating the moment the Spirit came upon the disciples and the church was born. People were therefore equipped by the Lord to be his witnesses. Now, that applies first of all then to those first witnesses, the people who saw. And what were they to do? Well, they were to be his witnesses, not just in Jerusalem where they were, but then also throughout Israel, in Judea, and then wider in Samaria, and just to the ends of the earth. And that book of Acts takes us right through to Rome. And some people say, well, Rome is the ends of the earth at that point. Geographically, it was considered to be the ends of the earth. But other people say, no, it wasn't ever considered to be the ends of the earth. But it's a focal point for being able then to reach the ends of the earth because it's the center of the Roman Empire at that time. But either way, the gospel will go out. Why? Because the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, has come to his people. Now, how do we benefit from that verse 8 of chapter 1, which now we know it's verse 8, chapter 1, because we sung and we'll remember the song, which is the reason why we sing the song. How do we benefit from that? Well, we too receive, the Spirit is now given, since Pentecost, the Spirit is given to all those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is not a Christian, a true Christian, who doesn't have the Spirit of God. It's impossible for us to be Christian without the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. So we're here this weekend because the Spirit of God has been at work in us. And that same Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, enables us to rely upon. I haven't got a physical copy of the Bible on me. Here we go. So we rely on what those first witnesses have recorded for us. So as we talk about what they saw, then we again today still contribute to that gospel going forward to the ends of the earth. It's really important to maintain that, yes, the Lord still sends us to be his witnesses, but we're witnesses in a secondary sense. We rely on their witness in order for his witness to go forward. And so because of that, we should be, hopefully, the whole of the book of Acts helps us understand how it is that God, by his Spirit, thrusts his people to be his witnesses. So my prayer for this week, are you going to ask me that as well?
My final question was going to be, what's your prayer for this weekend?
Oh, thank you, Larry, thank you. My prayer will be that I think the Lord helps us to not think of, maybe you've understood the word missionary as being a slightly category A type Christian. Here we are, we're category B or C. I don't know, what's a pass in the German education system? D, maybe, I don't know how it works.
They do it in numbers, it'd be a bit.
So 1.2.
That's a very good.
Oh, is it? That's high. Sorry, I'll try and understand the culture. But anyway, so we might classify ourselves as normal Christians. And then, the missionary types, those are the first-class Christians. And we're slightly intimidated when we hear the word missionary. But the Lord doesn't ask us to be super Christians. The Lord, by his Spirit dwelling in us, equips us to be his witnesses. And all of us who are witnesses are therefore involved in mission. We're involved in recommending the Lord Jesus Christ to others, in standing for the Lord Jesus Christ when it's difficult, in making decisions that are wise as we are confronted by opposition, in calling out to the Lord to help us in the different situations in which we find ourselves. So each one of us, the Lord addresses us, well, there isn't really a category of super Christian, is there? If we're all there by grace, we're all in the same level. We're all ordinary, struggling, in a sense, human beings. But through the work of the Lord and his Spirit in us, we have this wonderful calling to live for him and to glorify him. And he enables us to do that. Not that we're sort of these other terrestrial sort of superheroes. No. As normal, average people with our struggles and still with some of our sins, and yet a God who is good to us, who is gracious to us, who loves us, who will keep us. And so we want to be encouraged. My prayer is that you'll be encouraged. Not so discouraged because you think, oh, wow, it's so hard to be that type of Christian. No, to say that the Lord works in me in the same way as he works in Larry, the same works in all of us, by his grace, through his word, in the power of his Spirit.
Brilliant. Thank you. On that note, you can take your seat again.
Merci.
De rien. Out of interest, how many people here speak French? There you go. That's just, you can go and talk to him in French later. I'm sure he'll appreciate it. Brilliant. Steve, thank you so much for coming over. Thank you for being our average and ordinary church weekend away speaker. It's a great joy to have you with us. We're looking forward to hearing from you and from the Lord's word later on in the weekend.